This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, stop cursing.
Wow, wow, wow.
Hello!
Whoa, that was a big sigh. You do that sometimes.
What's wow?
Sorry, got the gum.
Good morning!
Good morning! Sometimes Max does this... just basically existential sigh.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Well, what happens is, well, here's why I notice, because usually it's when he's done popping off and has to wait to talk again. He goes, there's some Kierkegaardian beast inside of him that just needs to vent for a minute. He goes, and this week it opened with that.
Are you, Merlin, are you already watching I Think You Should Leave? Or is it still a couple of weeks before it's the only thing that you're quoting and thinking about and talking about on all of your podcasts?
Probably the second one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You guys popped off on that last night, and I didn't know the way that Jen punctuated it was very confusing.
It just came out. It's my favorite comedy thing that's come out in some time. It is
okay.
It is so fucking funny.
Sorry, did I sigh?
Is that your upset with millennials sigh? I can't.
It's
tell.
So funny. It's so funny.
Okay, all right, I'll add it to the queue. And so, what's it called? I'm mad at you now. What
it's
is it called?
It's called I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. And it's
Tim Robinson.
And you know who it's
okay.
got? You know who it's got?
No.
It's got Richard Splett. From Veep.
Oh, I love him.
And Connor O'Malley, the guy from Vine who yells at the cars.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. I love a Splett.
He's so funny.
Oh, he's so good.
Let's look up.
I just think about him and laugh. All right. Okay. So
I'm looking up on YouTube.
It's called It's Time for You to Go. What's
best,
it called?
Best of Richard Splett.
Best of Splett. Wearing a splatter.
Oh.
That's what his grandmother called him.
That was dumb.
I love when he announces something about his family and then suddenly realizes it's wrong.
What do we do?
We need to get a hold of our people in Nevada. Well,
Nevada.
The vast majority of Nevada voting is done by machine. Once the Nevada Secretary of State certifies the count, we'll then have 72 hours to request a recount. At that point, 5% of the precincts will be selected, and if there's a discrepancy of more than 1%, a full hand recount will be requested. I actually did my doctorate in recount procedures in the West.
Excellent work, Richard. Richard works for me.
You have a doctorate?
Two. Constitutional law and veterinary medicine, which was my fallback.
You were getting my coffee.
Which is much harder, because, you know, you have so many different moods. Half-calf, full-calf.
You know what? They had the dumbest bit a couple episodes ago. It was such a stupid bit, but only Splett could pull it off. He kept looking at his phone to see the results for Jonah. He's like, oh, no, I read that. He turns his phone and is like, oh, no, that wasn't right.
We're way down.
She's my half-sister.
He's so funny.
What a cast. Oh, that
oh
cast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's very funny this season.
It is a
it
banger.
Is.
My gosh.
I really enjoyed the debate episode, the one they had.
Where the cowboy keeps trying to talk. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of hot, honestly. Good for him.
We need to talk about your sexuality at some point. maybe offline. I'm so... Let me just be clear. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me what all the things you want to have. Fuck. I don't.
No, I didn't
no,
say I wanted.
I don't
to,
understand I what it. Well, how's that a snack? What are you talking about? You say so many things to me. I mean, you're like my new Dan. You say so many things to me that I fundamentally, I try to square it with what I think I know about you, and I'm going to need like red yarn on a wall, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
First of all, finding basic boys like Cal Newport attractive does not mean I'm the kind of person who would stand next to a lady at a buffet and just stare at her confused and then cut in front of her to take some salad. I don't think I'm that person. I don't think that's fair. I just don't think that's fair.
Nice pull.
I had a, that was one of the times.
You mean at the trough, when you go to the trough.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to go to a trough at all. First of all,
Oh, wings. Wings. Nom, nom,
second
nom,
of all, I will take the bread now. Yeah. No, 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 no.
Okay. So Cal Newport is a snack.
Yeah.
Yes. But you have some concerns about how he regards his audience, and that makes him less snackable.
No, no, no. No, no, no. No.
Wait, you know what? You don't have to talk about it. This is none of my goddamn business, Alex. I'm just, at some point, I need to see some kind of a scatter graph just to help me just vaguely understand what the hell is going on with your libido.
Don't you find some man handsome?
And I think you conflate computers. I think you conflate computers and sex, and it confuses me. And then you see an advice man, and you call him a snack.
He's just, have you yes. seen him? Have you seen him recently?
Have I really, really seen him? No, I don't think
okay,
I have.
Okay, hold on. He has been, like, doing some CrossFit. Actually, that's quite a portion of his new
very,
book about.
Very Dan thing to do.
Yep, he talks about CrossFit.
Is that the thing where you swing the ropes around and watch a movie?
Yeah, and that's, there's no okay. music allowed, no talking allowed. They just okay. like yell in unison at some point.
Oh, believe me, I've gotten the CrossFit
oh,
pitch.
Okay.
I've met couples who met through CrossFit, and boy, that's like logarithmically
oh,
insufferable.
I can't imagine.
It's bad. Yeah. I thought I was bad with the Atkins diet. Oh, Jiminy Christmas.
Actually, you'd have a lot more energy if you just mainline some bacon.
Cal Newport. You sent this to me in our super secret text channel, Cal Newport's Morning Routine, mm-hmm. at mymorningroutine.com.
So bad.
Okay. Does he eat almonds? Mm. What does he do?
He's so good, you can't ignore him, is what he is.
So good. Is that him?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
okay,
him.
Okay, I was supposed to read that and didn't. Okay.
You don't need to. Deep work is okay. very much...
Deep work.
Yeah, he's deep working something.
Max, do you do deep work? Do you do deep work?
I return no.
Okay. Okay. Do you answer your email first thing in the morning or leave it till later in the day?
Is this the book Deep Work, Rules for Focused Success in a Distracted World? Ooh,
yes.
I have a reading recommendation for everyone.
Yes, please.
Can we put a fork in your sex, Alex?
Just for, yes,
just for
yes, please.
Yeah, we'll do it in the after show.
Yeah. I want the book.
There's a new Cory Doctorow book called uh-huh. Radicalized. I don't know if you guys are fans of Corey's
yes.
stuff. I think he is. I think Corey is one of these guys who he's living in like a pocket dimension that where he's like 8 years ahead of the rest of society.
Right.
And he's like, he's kind of, for me at least, he's kind of like the guy on like trend calling and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
way ahead of everyone else. And a lot of times I hear him talk about stuff and I'm like, who cares about this? But then he's always right. Like in 8 years, I always yeah. care about what he's talking about. And I think his fiction is super interesting to me because it's definitely like idea fiction. Like it's very, very political and very like big ideas. And it's sort of sometimes I think it succeeds as novels mm-hmm. and sometimes it doesn't. But this is four short stories. There are sort of vignettes in this near future world. The first one in particular is about a woman who hacks her toaster. And it's
yes!
one of the most gripping. Basically, she has like a cloud toaster, and it stops working one day, and so she puts her own firmware on it, and then it's everything that happens after that. And it's one of the most. It's like some of the most essential reading it's hard for me to put into words. I liked it so much, and I just felt like this is ahead of its time. And I definitely recommend that first novella in his new book, Radicalized. I think both of you guys would love it. It's very funny.
Check it out.
Bought it now with one click. That's
it's
a
called,
cover,
It's called
too.
Unauthorized Bread.
The cover is really good, too.
That's super interesting.
Now, I have a question. Are you guys mm-hmm. going to go see the new Vengees?
Yeah.
When? How? What's the plan?
I'm going to be off the internet and seeing it on Sunday.
You're going to go on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm too
I'm going to try and go tomorrow.
Yeah. Good luck.
I got a ticket.
Oh, good.
I got
good.
A ticket. I got a good seat for
nice,
like a
nice.
1 o'clock show tomorrow at
mm-hmm.
ArcLight.
Nice.
So I'm just going to leave work and go for 4 hours to see the Vengees.
good.
I can't. I'm excited about it.
I am mm-hmm. actually very excited about it too. I think I didn't get a little bit spoiled, but I got sort of the spoiled where somebody I really respect said some things. Mm-hmm. And anyway, the end. Don't you giggle?
I don't think you know what a spoiler is.
Yeah, that's not spoiled. Merlin, you going to see the new Vengees?
I return nearly no.
You're not going to see it?
I don't want to get into it. See, I'm trying to be more positive about things.
You don't like those.
I want to have a mother that told me, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything. She never said that specifically.
You're not you don't like the Marvel movies anymore?
See, you're interrogating me in my no. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to hear responses from people about it. No, I mean, I just want people to be happy, Max. Like my text expander shortcut says, I just want people to be happy.
I can't help it. I don't want those movies to be like. I don't want to like those movies, but I do. I want to find out what happens.
Well, maybe.
I don't think it's politics going to see them. I just think they're fun movies.
I was very brave in saying I kind of hated Captain Marvel.
Your daughter doesn't want to see the new Avengers?
Oh, no, 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 no.
She doesn't like them?
No, it's just a papa. Didn't I put up a little red velvet rope around my opinion. No one's allowed. VIP opinion area.
I thought that you liked these movies. You always talk about them.
I like OmniFocus.
I feel like it switches back every week. I don't know who likes Marvel and who like Max no, sometimes does and
I
then doesn't.
I mean, I don't
and
think
then
they're
Merlin
great.
Doesn't.
I don't think they're great movies.
This
I just
is just another example of late capitalism. Something.
I think they've successfully.
It's the fan community, and they're always coming in. They're dressed up like an animal, or they have horns. It's like, I don't understand. Why don't you just get out and canvas for Bernie? Wish they were this excited about Notre Dame.
They've successfully made me care. I don't want to care. You know, Merlin, you shouldn't go see that movie if you have a child.
Oh.
Do not go see that movie if you have a child.
Oh, well, if your child can't behave at a comic book movie, don't bring them. Oh my God, that was so bizarre. You saw that. You saw
no,
Lisa Simpson standing in front of a board. So this fan, PSA. What did it say? It was like PSA. If your kids can't behave or sit still for 3 hours, don't bring them to the Avengers.
I can't sit still.
Lisa Simpson would never say that. That's comic book guy warging into her.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's insane. You know what I'm saying? She got hodored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you know,
Don't bring your children, though.
Don't Mm-mm. bring your children. Mm-hmm. Don't just bring other silent, sad adults. I'm, you know, it's good. It's good. I have really increasingly mixed feelings, like going back and watching the movies, not for any political reason or not for any, like, I don't know. It just, it's sort of like how I feel about Apple in some ways, where, you know, I kind of run hot and cold. This is for the foreseeable future, I'll continue to start with Apple products. Right. Like, but they do stuff that makes me so crazy sometimes because I've been using Apple stuff since 1987 and I do have like a certain idea about what I'd like them to be doing. And when this, in a selfish way, when Apple moves in a direction that either doesn't seem sensible to me or, I mean, candidly, when they're not catering to my personal needs, but like when they're becoming less Apple, I get sad, but that doesn't mean I stop using Apple. It's kind of a Merlin shitless situation. And with the Marvel movies, I'm like, yeah, I mean, that was good. That movie was good. Like, I like that movie. But like, red rope.
So are you going to share your opinion about what you think about, what should we call this, Marzi? How do you feel about Marzi?
Marzi Williams?
I think if we call it Captain Marvel, that should probably throw everyone off the scent.
I liked it a lot. I see. This is why I brought a rope.
Mm-hmm. I just rewatched the. I watched. What did I watch? The last Avenger, the Thor or the Thanos one, the last one.
The first Infinity War.
The first Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then.
Oh yeah, you said as much. You were watching it with your lady friend, right?
Yeah, yeah. I rewatched that, and then I rewatched the original Avengers because I realized there's a lot of like. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy. Because yes. I think everyone forgets in Guardians of the Galaxy, there's so much exposition mm-hmm. that you don't even listen to because you're like, bring back the talking raccoon.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's a lot of the stuff of Ronan the Accuser having these like Shakespearean monologues, like trading back and forth with Thanos. And like that stuff is all relevant to the story.
I want to say a nice thing, which is that... something, Avengers was not a perfect movie, da-da-da-da, but, like, I continue to believe that the but, like, the scene at the very, 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 very beginning of the Avengers, I'm far from the first person to point this out. It's the most amazing piece of exposition, like, in that amount of time that I think I've ever seen, where the dude's walking up the steps. Was it Loki? I forget. But they do so much. They do so much.
Are you
so
talking about
fast.
The first Avenger, the original event, the Joss Whedon Avengers movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure it'll be good.
I think this is probably why people listen to the program, to mm-hmm. not hear what we think about stuff.
I want
to
know what Merlin thinks of Marzipan.
What's Marzipan?
Oh.
You, wow, Max.
Is that one that I didn't see?
Yeah, that's the superhero that combines iOS and macOS apps.
Oh, it's that
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those apps are pretty bad, right? Like stocks and home
it's
and stuff
different.
Like that.
It's different. You don't spend 6 hours a day listening to these podcasts? Merlin, what do you think?
If I'm on my computer and I'm opening up the stocks app and it's a piece of shit.
It looks terrible. Merlin, how do you feel about, do you think there's going to be a yellow submarine edition of the iPhone? I really, really need to know.
I think a lot of like in the sort of relay universe, they're bringing up some, what? No. I mean, I think.
I wasn't expecting a serious answer. Now I'm excited. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh. I think where you see this, they talk about this a lot on the relay shows, but recently on Upgrade, boy, this is boring. I think the idea of like what it means to bring automation to one platform or the other is going to be an interesting inflection point for what the future is going to be, for sure.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Could you explain it for me? I'm sure all of our listeners know exactly the nuances of what you guys are talking about. But
honestly, tweet at me if you did not know what Marzipan was before this podcast. Supposedly uh-huh. on. During the keynote at WWDC, it will be announced, like, the sneak peek of last year's thing. The sneak peek is going to be that you can easily port your iOS apps to macOS. And what's his name? Guy Rambo. Rambo Ramblings, but in a good way. This guy found all of this stuff with Steve Trotton Smith about how you're going to be able to automate possibly with Siri shortcuts, and Siri is going to be better on the Mac, and now mouse support is coming to the accessibility settings and iPad.
This is a real Alex story.
This is so good.
I don't understand a word. I don't understand a word that you're saying.
We're done. I'm excited.
Well, no, because I mean, it actually is really interesting in the sense that it seems like in order to do the kinds of things they seem to be talking about doing, there's going to be a need to figure out on a deep level, like which parts of which platform, quote unquote, win in some ways. And like the hope is that some of the power of the Mac will be coming to iOS. And in the past, we've seen a lot of the way we think about iOS has kind of come to the Mac. And people are saying, oh, gosh, I hope I don't lose my power on the Mac. But like, if you want to do stuff like shortcuts, if you want to go both ways with something like automation.
Sorry.
Okay, next topic, jazz break.
I want to talk about how no one's having sex because of Netflix, apparently.
Oh, yeah, right. Paywall.
Yeah.
You have to explain this one
to
me, too.
No, I can't. Start a story. I saw a Twitter moment about how apparently nobody's having sex because of Netflix, according to the Wall Street Journal. And then I tried to open the article, and they show the beginning, and the photo that they have to start the article is, I'll say, two large people in reclining chairs, And they say that the most unattractive words, the most unattractive three words are "let's watch Netflix," and then I couldn't read anymore and try to get around their paywall.
To me, the sort of definitive thing on this is a really good Atlantic article from a couple of months ago by Kate Julian called "Why Are Young People Having So Little Sex?" And it really goes through the whole deal, all the data, like how do we know that and what are the reasons and stuff like that. I will send this to you for the show notes. I'll put it in our super secret channel, and it is not behind a paywall. I thought that was a pretty good read.
Also, I don't mind paywalls. I just don't want to give Jeff Bezos more money.
To me, I mean, I think it's pretty – to me, I guess – there's a lot of like, so this article kind of goes through a lot of different options of like, oh, maybe it's because of like the Me Too age, kids are like scared to have sex, or maybe it's because of internet porn, like they're not the right amount of horny, or maybe it's because of like video games, or there's all these different like cultural reasons. And I gotta say, like, it seems pretty obvious to me, which is like, millennials are less likely to have their own house. They're more likely to have roommates. They're less likely to have disposable income, so they can't like go on dates. So they're like dating less and having sex less because they don't have private time and private space. That's a luxury good.
So we could go down a route on this and do sort of a materialist argument. I mean, I'm just going to speculate, but one could be like you may not have the privacy that people like us have historically had, like in your setup. I mean, here's the deeper thing, and I think this might be the Alex point. It's like, is that people just don't want to have sex things as much, or is it they just can't have sex things as much? And how is that a Netflix thing? Has Netflix made them not want to have sex, or is it just more interesting? Like,
well, I think it's a fact. I mean, again, I definitely recommend this Atlantic article because I think they do go through the data, and I think it's a fact that millennials are having less sex than previous generations, which is surprising because every previous generation has had more, reported having more sex than the generation before. Like every generation is sort of like more sexually, you know, like liberated and has more partners and they're less monogamous and all of that than the previous generation, except for millennials. And there's this big downtick in how much sex they report having and how many partners they report having and all of that. And I think you, like, it's one of those facts that sort of like cries out for like whatever your personal thing is. If you're the like anti-Netflix, if you're Ben Shapiro, you're going to be like, oh, it's because the kids like don't believe in Western values and the church burned down or whatever. Like you're always going to find, it's whatever your special thing is. That's why the children aren't having as much sex. But probably the correct answer is that they can't afford their own house.
Yeah. I'm just scrolling through this. See, this Atlantic article is what I wanted to read because I'm like, what a stupid headline. But one of the quotes is, unless you're exceptionally good looking, the thing online dating may be best at is sucking up large amounts of time rather than dating, which is a really good point. Like, that's so good.
Yeah, like, did you see the big magnum opus the other day on incels?
No, by who?
Oh, no, I missed this too.
Oh, God, it's really good and depressing. Let me find it for you.
On the topic of incels, I was going to bring this up with regards to online dating. Like, I was lucky. I mean, I missed online dating by, like, months. Like, honestly, like, I actually have never had an account on any online dating site. Like, I just missed it. And thank God, because the whole thing, it really terrifies me. Like, it pushes all my sort of buttons about, like, self-representation and, I don't know, just. It's so far out of my comfort zone, and how it's right in the exact way that I don't like to interact with people. And it would have been very bad for me if I needed to sort of use online dating to like get a partner. It would have been very, very bad for me. But anyway, I do think, you know, if I try to like, okay, so like the ContraPoints incels video, right?
So good.
Yes.
It was great. And I think what she's doing is she's not excusing all of the terrible things that they do, but she's saying like, if we try to listen with empathy to like what the pain that they're telling us that they have, like they have valid points. Like it really sucks to be, in a lot of ways, like.
Absolutely.
It sucks. Like it's not like not being able to have a girlfriend and it being so hard and fraught to date is bad. It sucks.
Well, there's so much. So I think I sent you the link. To this Vox article. And it's a long article. I'm like a third of the way through it, but it's real good. And, you know, there's so much about it that is just, you know, per the ContraPoints video, there's so much about it that's just This is a gross article. There's gross stuff happening. The notion in this article is that what we now think of as incel stuff actually started with a woman who considered in the late 90s who considered herself an involuntarily celibate person, and then kind of like, you know, being understandably mopey about it. And then the thrust of this article is that got picked up in places like Reddit to where, and I'm just repeating
turns
stuff
out.
Other people have said. It's a big turns out, which is that this becomes a thing where people go online to get some sympathy and instead find the ultimate kind of sad sack community that goes, no, you are ugly. You're not a Chad. Like, get out the calipers. There's a reason you're unfuckable. Welcome to our subreddit.
So the lady who started incels never even shot up one school.
No, and she was gay. Incels started as, I think it's a Nancy podcast episode. I'll find it. But it's amazing because it started as mostly queer people who couldn't have sex because they were in, like, they didn't have privacy or there weren't any other gay people at their schools. And then eventually she found a partner and is like, okay, guys, like, I love this community. Like, I feel like this isn't my space, but go with God. And then Reddit picked it up.
And that the thing is, being so steeped in this community, and like they say in this article, a lot of it is like they're just joshing around and doing memes. And of course, but it's you know, pretty mean spirited that women have basically, as women in particular, as a group, have deliberately excluded them and will only date the hot guys. And so, like any community, you know, it's a positive feedback loop, ironic name, where you're just getting all this same stuff that other people think and you're, you know, dragged down and down and down. But here's the part where I got to this, and I don't want to say I felt sympathy, but well, let me put it this way. Like, imagine how you felt at your lowest. You know, like for me, like in terms of how I felt about myself and my body and my whatever, like it's got to be probably middle school where I felt like I have got to be the only person in the world that is this isolated from society, like let alone the thing that I want to be. So like imagine instead of being surrounded by people who go like, yeah, that sucks. It gets better. Like imagine being surrounded by people like, except you kept that into your 30s. And now everybody around you is agreeing that that is reality, and that reality is unchangeable. Like because of who you are, you are in the target for, you are like this target for all of these people who are never going to want to, you know, have anything to do with you. So here's a paragraph. John, this resonated with me because, you know, vis-a-vis online dating, this resonated because I've never done that. John, a 30-year-old incel from New Jersey, tried pretty much everything he could think of to help himself succeed in the dating market. He works out regularly, eats vegetarian, and spends time reading up on fashion so he can try to dress well. He's tried online dating for years and let some of his female friends set him up on dates. But very few women have responded to his messages on dating apps. And when his female friends described him to their girlfriends, they would never describe him as attractive or even cute. Eventually, John concluded he was just ugly and there was nothing that he could do, no way he could eat or dress to fix that. So, you know, he lost that opportunity to suck at dealing with the people you're attracted to. He never had a win with that or whatever. But then I thought about, shit, man, how would I do with online dating?
Oh, wait, hold on. Get up.
Is there a bear? Are you shaking that to ward off a bear?
No, Merlin said a word. Going in the swear jar. Okay, sorry.
No, which one did I say? Just tell me the letter.
You said the S word.
Oh, no.
Ooh, Merlin!
Yep.
I owe you a Coke.
I've started... Oh, it's a dime. I'm pulling coins out of my Pikachu's anus. All right, sorry. What were you saying?
Oh, come on. That's real some edgelord stuff. I would suck at online dating is what I'm saying. I'd be terrible at it. I don't even have an Instagram. Like, I would be so bad at this, and I wouldn't even want to try to make myself look appealing, and then I'd get mad that no one liked me, and it would feel like junior high all over again.
One of the points that the ContraPoints video went over really well is the idea of, like, it's this idea of enforced, like, hopelessness in these incel forums. So sometimes someone will be like, hey, why don't you just, like, if you don't like how you look, why don't you just, like, change your diet and exercise and, like, you know, I don't know, like, wear better clothes and, like, get out of your house and, you know, these are, like, fixable problems. And that's almost like a heresy. Like, you're not supposed to say that in incel spaces because the idea is you're supposed to, like, accept that it's hopeless. And not that's obviously an absurd position, but, like, there is something to it that how do I put this? Like, I think a lot of people, like, okay, so I get emails all the time from people who want to become, they want to make games like full time. Mm-hmm. And they email me and they're like, what's the trick? Yep. And I really.
Don't hoard it. Like, what is the
trick? Yeah, what do I do? I get that email once a day from someone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they tell me their story and they genuinely have a really sad story of some circumstances in their life. And they're like, I'm ready and I want to turn it all around and make games. So, like, what do I do? Tell me the path. Tell me the thing. And a lot of indie designers that were like one generation ahead of me that made money and became successful, they sort of made a second career after they became successful game designers as almost like motivational public speakers, where they would go to these conferences and they would say, the only thing standing between you and success is that you don't believe in it enough, and you need to jump off
a
cliff.
That is such a good pivot, Max. You're so right.
And they would say, jump off a cliff and build a plane on the way down, right? You have to believe and take a leap of faith and quit your job and commit, and you can make a living as an independent game designer, just making games and living the life, and it's all awesome. Now, the reality of it is, I might have talked about this here before, but like I have this conversation with a friend of the show, Zach Gage, all the time. And Zach and I are extremely lucky and privileged that we both make mm-hmm. our living as game designers. And we've had this conversation before of how many people do we think are out there who make their living as like an independent game designer, like not employed by a big studio as an employee, but like they're a game designer, they make games. And people
so
buy
not
them.
Even of the Gen Pop, but of the people who make games, how many of those people are able to sustain them?
Yes, right. Not how many. So those are two questions. One question is, can I make a game? And anyone can make a game, and they should. It's an amazing. That's like saying, can I paint? Yes, everyone can learn to paint, and they should. And you'll probably get a lot of fulfillment and make a lot of people happy and learn a lot of things about yourself and et cetera, et cetera. But now you're at. But it's a different question to say, can I make a living as a full-time oil painter? And I don't want to work. And I don't want to work on a staff at a big oil painting company where they sell paintings in, you know, IKEA. I want to be an artist where people know my name and buy my work and all of that. Now, Zach has this great statistic. He told me that in the whole world of fine art, so all the museums and galleries and people, like how many people out there in the whole world today, 6 billion people, how many people do you think make a full-time living as a fine artist?
Right.
And it's like 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The number's got to be the same for indie games. It's probably fewer. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm tempted when people email me, like, I'm really torn because I think what they want is a pep talk. And then what they want me to say is, like, oh, the secret is just to buy Facebook ads and then you can do mm-hmm. it. You know, or they want me to say some hack or something like that, right? Like, just use these hashtags and MailChimp, or I don't know what they expect exactly, but they want some path.
Well, like in some ways, like for me, as I've started to slowly acknowledge my own kind of privileges just a little bit, is to go like, well, like you're going to need a lot of luck in a time machine.
Yeah.
Like you need an extraordinary amount of luck and you need to have done this 10 years ago. Because the whole reason that I had success with what I was doing pretty much was timing. And I got very fortunate with being in the right place at the right time, mostly doing the right thing, except for when I was able to screw that up. But you know what I mean? Like when you say that to somebody, you're like, well, by the time you know about game designing as a thing, like you're already not skating to where the puck is. You're like, you're looking for the old hockey arena.
Right. Yes. That is such a good point. And there's another piece of it, which is I'm not trying to be like the guy on the incel forum saying like abandon all hope and just, you know, accept that it's impossible or whatever. But also like, I want to be careful of like why is it hard right now to make a living as an independent game designer? Well, it's not hard. It's not because people are mean or whatever. It's structural reasons. Like the platforms have evolved to a point where it's really, really hard to make money. Like it used to be really easy to make money on the App Store. And now for structural reasons mm-hmm. that don't have to do with any individual person's being kind or cruel or mean, or it's not. The people, it's not a guy being mean to you. It's a structural designed reason of the App Store ecosystem that it's now very challenging to be discovered on the App Store and to make money on the App Store. And
that's
obviously
so
there's like
good.
the free to play model and all of that. So it's people in a sense, and I do think there's a lot of people who look at game design and they look at the dominance of free to play and how hard it is to break into the market and they go, well, I'm fucked. Like it's hopeless. And my truth is, they're not 100% wrong. Like, it sucks.
Well, they're wrong. But, like, this is – okay, so, like, just to take your point and do my own version of that.
Yeah.
Like, let's put it this way. And I realize I'm shooting fish in a barrel, but I hope it makes a point, which is what if somebody came to me and said, hey, in September of 2004, you started a blog about productivity that got, by the terms of the time, pretty well known and popular and you were able to make money from it, like, how do I do that? And I would go, well, I mean, you know, you can obviously see the punchline, the sad punchline here is like, well, that's because of that time. That's because I happened to be in the right line when blogs were on the ascent. And again, I'm privileged. But like, just in terms of that, like, what you end up having to say to someone is, what you're trying to accomplish may not be impossible, but are you sure that's the thing you want to accomplish? Because, you know, like I say, even every buggy whip store probably had a salesman of the month until we didn't need buggy whips anymore. Like, do you want to be the most successful buggy whip man? And like, in that case, I would go like, well, no, because, you know, there's a reason I don't write online for money anymore, because there's not that much interest in the kind of stuff I like to write, and there's very little money in it, right? So like, how would you say that to somebody without sounding like an asshole? It's like, no, I'm trying to be helpful. But like, you also do need a certain amount of like foresight into like maybe what the next thing will be and start placing your bets there. You know what I mean? Like, how do you say that without sounding like a jerk?
A confounding factor, another, just one more thing I would sort of throw into the mix here of like how complicated and fraught this all is like, the actual answer for the incels and the people who aren't having sex and they're justifiably mad and there's structural reasons that make them feel not, and they're not entirely wrong to feel like it's hopeless for them because it's not like just their attitude. Listen.
Why are they justifiably mad? Okay, because, no, we didn't talk about this
because it's okay. Let me use the example of Queer Eye, right? Mm-hmm, like we talk about how funny it is on Queer Eye. Like I really felt like, especially on the most recent season, I love that show, and every episode made me cry, mm-hmm. and I'll continue watching it. But it is a little funny on Queer Eye that they go to this one woman's house, and she's like, I eat ramen 3 meals a day and all of my furniture is from the garbage. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you just need to believe in yourself. Let's go shop at CB2.
You just need a leather jacket and you'll be the cutest lesbian in town.
But it's like, actually...
Right?
But
right. Yeah, it's like, you know, there's a monetary reason why people don't do stuff.
Right. It's actually not that she doesn't like love herself enough. It's that she's broke. That's the problem. Yeah. And Queer Eye turned her whole apartment around and made her clothes better because they had money from Netflix that they could spend on that stuff that she did not previously have.
We made your room blue.
Yeah. So there's open shelves now in the kitchen. But anyway, it's just, it's like at the heart, this is the point of that ContraPoints video. Like to me at least, what I took away from it is like at the heart of the incels thing is like their lives are shitty and it's because of structural reasons. Like they would not be so desperate and they would not be so immiserated if it weren't for all of these like problems in our society. That of like, it's very hard to be, you know, you're like the jobs available are these like gig economy jobs and there's no labor protections and you don't have a steady source of employment and it's really hard to own a home and everyone has student debt. Like there's these like crushing institutional forces that sort of just grind people into the dirt. And then I don't know what outlet. Not everyone is thinking about it in those terms. A lot of them are just like, why can't I have a girlfriend? You know, women are mean to me.
Well, that's what I mean. Exactly. That's why, like, I agree with everything. The reason that they can't bone ladies is because they are stuck in their parents' basements. But there's no justifiable reason for them to hate women.
It puts them
in that position for sure. But that's not.
And it's ultimately also not helping their game.
No,
for sure.
No, if you go on a first date and you just complain about Anita Sarkeesian the whole time, that date's not ending well. Is the feeling of hopelessness is justified because I think they look at all of these systems that are like aligned against them and they're like, nobody gives a shit about me and it's
very
damn it.
Oh man.
Oh, two for two.
And anyhow. I think part of the thing I was gonna say I wanted to like throw in the mix here is like who am I? I'm just a humble observer here. But if we really were serious about preventing like the next Gamergate or the next Trump, you have to take all these like angry young men and like give them something more productive to do with their lives than harass women online. Like, people who have full-time jobs, I mean, there's always going to be some psychos out there.
But they're still chasing. They're still chasing that dragon. They're still, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I know a lot of incels, but they strike me as being still emotionally 14. And they missed some kind of Erickson pyramid step to where, like, I mean, let's say, so yeah, there's two elephants in the room. Alex just brought one of them up, which is like, you know what? Your decision to hate women because of how you feel about life it's got a lot of problems to it. But the other thing is, like, you know what? Other elephant in the room, you don't actually like those women except as vessels for you getting what you want. See, also Free Solo. You only really care about those women in terms of how they can help you meet a need that you feel has been unmet currently and in the past. And I'm just here to tell you, like, as somebody who's been through the Clone Wars, I'm just here to tell you, like, that is not a great long-term strategy. It is, and I'm not saying you have to become like a lovey-dovey Alan Alda, right. But, like, you know, the fact you are really, you have no idea you are drinking salt water, and you have no idea how much at cross purposes with your theoretical goal your behavior is being, and it's also being reiterated by all the people who surround you in that community.
Well, I don't think, other than like chemical castration, I don't think there's a cure where on the individual level where we like rid the world of every hateful.
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. Just tell people you're chemically castrated.
Like we can't rid the internet of every angry young man who harasses women. Like I think that is my cynical.
That is, as they say, a big ask.
I think that's maybe my cynical view of human nature, is there's always going to be psychos out there who whatever, they're racist, they're sexist, they're truly awful people, and there's probably nothing we can do about. I don't think there's anything that we'd be willing to tolerate that would sort of like fully purge those people from society.
No, absolutely not.
However, there is a systemic fix of, like, if people's lives are good and they're prosperous and they have some fulfillment in their lives and they're not being like ground down into the dirt by all of these systems and denied opportunities, they have much less incentive to make that their main hobby in life, right? Like, you're not going to have these mass movements of sexism if people could afford, like, better video gaming consoles.
Then what is... women aren't a minority. What is the equivalent of incels for women? Like, why aren't we saying we hate ourselves? I mean, I do, but, you know, there's
But
not
you hate
this...
yourself organically. You've earned
exactly.
That.
Yeah. I was born in the self-hatred. And I...
You found this in the forum.
And
I
this
was
is...
born in it. Watch this television screen while I'm watching.
Well, in a way, like when
she ghosted me.
We need Anita back. I don't know.
When I go to the grocery store or whatever, or just even like watch TV, I see a lot of media that's about women hating themselves and each other. A lot of this sort of...
Oh, that is very fair. Yes.
A lot of celebrity gossip, I think, is about tearing down other women. Obviously, the entire sort of health and beauty racket... a lot of multi-level marketing schemes.
A lot of them are not electable is another problem.
Yeah, we absolutely have tons of internalized misogyny, but there isn't... No one at this point is shooting each other. And is that just as like what we consider male rage and like just the way that we're raised and programmed differently? Like, I think that could be the answer. I genuinely do not know.
It probably... I mean, yeah. It also, like, sometimes the answer on this stuff is like... literally as simple as, like, who owns guns. It may be that, like, men and women are, like, basically equally likely to...
Let's say you're a mayor with 50 guns who threatens kids in a park.
Oh, my God.
That was crazy. That's like...
That was every paragraph of that was more like, what now?
Actually, can we read that in a second? Will you see if you can find that? Anyway, I think, like, it's sometimes the answer on this stuff is as simple as, like, men and women are equally as likely to fly into a rage... but men are statistically more likely to own guns. And so therefore, there's more gun violence, where women are less likely to own guns or have higher barrier. Like, sometimes it's really stupid like that. It's not some big thing. It's just, it's just men have all the guns.
So the solution is we should all buy guns.
Yes.
That's good.
I'm very brave.
You really disrupted that market. That's good.
But I also, like, I'll tell you the other thing is, like, I read all this stuff after Trump got elected. I read all these Nazi books and all these histories of Germany and fascism in the 40s and 30s and stuff like that. And, like, these, like, roving in Germany, they had these roving after World War One, and, like, the humiliation of Germany after World War One. The streets were filled with these bands of angry young men who were got into fights with each other, and they were just thugs because they had no opportunities in life, like Germany.
Well, they blame the Versailles Treaty. Right. I mean, somewhat understandably, lots of people said this is too tough, you guys. Like, we cannot be this tough with this treaty.
They blamed the SJW cucks and the Weimar Republic.
That's right. okay, so is this not the one I linked to, but this should work. I also wanted to say this in passing. I don't want to get into a thing, but as long as you're giving old man reckons and opinions, I'll give mine. There are so many media depictions of people who want you to know how well they're doing. Like, whether that's the Kardashians or somebody on Instagram, sorry to bag on Instagram. It really is a place where a lot of people show you how they're doing better than you. There are so many, that's just a couple. There are so many places where we are reminded how well other people appear to be doing compared to us. And I think that goes for whether that's looking at an airbrushed lady in a magazine, or whether that's seeing some Chad who's able to nail all the hard sevens or whatever. I don't know the language. But, like, I do feel like that kind of factors into it. You're like, you know, like, when am I going to be a Twitter story or whatever? You know, when am I going to have my day? And it's like, so what do you have? You either choose between being a Kardashian or being a public train wreck, which I guess is a different kind of train wreck. But you know what I'm saying? Like, how are you, like, either you are Kanye West or you're a hoarder. Like, there's the ways that we get bubbled up information about strangers are on their best and worst days. And their best day is so frequently these days followed by one of their worst days, because that's how the internet works now. So I feel, I mean, I don't want to go on, but, like, I do feel like there is this thing where the constant reminder, this hegemonic, ideological, the idea... That was my side sec. I've been eating out of this dumpster. I don't know.
Well, that's a great idea from this book that I've talked about before that I really like, Capitalist Realism. And there's this idea that's like, it comes almost from, like, hip hop culture, that the most real thing of all is money. And that, say what you want, and you can have all your politics and your opinions and this and that, but at the end of the day, like, I have things and you don't. I have my sort of hip-hop jewels and you don't, and here they are. And that is – and that sort of – that's, like, posited as, like, pre-ideological or post-ideological, but it's like there's no – you have your ideology over here, but I have my stuff. And, of course, like, anything that's positioned in that place of, like, oh, well, you – this is without any ideology. Like, I have my power gems over here. Like, that
is what the man says. This is what the man says. This is this is what he says is that, you know, that it's what I would normally call hegemony, but he's probably using a better word. Ideology is like the more you think you're out of the ideology, like the deeper you are in the ideology.
That's the ideology. The place where you're like,
have you guys watched that? Have you seen Ideology for Perverts?
Yeah. Great. No. It's awesome.
Has Alex, I've got that in the list.
Wait, is that the one where, he's filmed,
in front of the dumpster,
touring a trash facility.
it's the one that's I love it so much. I'm sorry, I stand for him, but the I think he's so hilarious, and he totally dunked on Jordan Peterson, which was great. But yeah, it starts out with the scenes from They Live, like the movie where you put on the glasses and you can see what's really going on. And the way that he pivots to, well, that's what you think ideology are these glasses that you put on in order to, like, you know, basically what he's saying is, no, it's the opposite. You take off these glasses and you see, you know, or you put on the glasses in this case and the ideology is actually there. We misunderstand this. It's in the challenges. Should we read about the mayor? Let's read about
Please,
the next mayor.
Let's
man.
Read about the mayor.
Yeah, I don't know what the original article is.
I can't find it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. I wish I could take a second to find it. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? Oh, God, I hate this.
Can I read the numbers that I compiled on Trump's and Taft's relative obesity?
Please.
Oh, yeah, please.
I did do a little research on this because I got many comments about it, but I still believe that Trump is equally as obese as Taft. Merlin sent out a picture of his...
I did not. What are you talking about?
Merlin sent a picture of Trump in his Lego body ass-looking suit. This morning.
He looks like a Funko Pop of himself.
He looks like a fucking cube With just his head coming out of it.
Well, you know, like the pat. Listen, this is not shaming, but you know, like when you watch a baseball game and you got the umpire and he wears that very large chest thing. It looks like he's wearing a chest thing under, and maybe two of those, and then he's got his flattering coat.
Well, anyway,
oh,
I went. And
you're gonna get email. You're gonna get.
No,
email.
It's okay to I'm say not... he looks like a fat Minecraft character. Like that is what he is.
I'm just observing a fact. So listen, Taft was 6 feet tall and he weighed 332 pounds. Okay, he was a big man, and I put that in a BMI calculator and it said his BMI was 42.3. Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. That is obese. Now, medically, not my opinion. I think he looks beautiful and I accept him for how he is.
You're just exposing science to the people.
Now, Trump, we don't know how tall he is because he says his official height is 6'3".
We've seen photos of him next to Obama, who is of a known height, and he ain't no Obama.
Exactly. So, I was thinking about how do I figure out actually what Trump weighs and what his height is, and there's all these different things online of like, people guessing, and there's like the wiki height where people like put him next to celebs and things, but... Washington Post found a 60-year veteran carnival guesser, and they. So I was like, you know, I bet someone has had a carnival guesser look at Trump and guess. And those guys, that's as good as we're gonna get. And sure enough, Washington Post did it. They found the best guy. He's been doing it for 60 years, and he pegs Trump at 5'9" and 255.
No. I'm 5'9 and a half, and he's way taller than me.
I don't think he is. I think he's probably your height. So,
oh, my God.
So the carnival guesser, 60-year veteran carnival guesser, says Trump is 5'9 and 255, which puts him at a BMI of 40, so that is, which is also obese and is basically the same as Taft. Okay, 40 versus 42. They're equally
obese.
You're just
exposing facts to the people.
Yes. I'm not saying whether it's good or bad. You'll have to decide that for yourself. I personally think it's good.
Okay, I'm in SJ Dubs mode today. But like, fat isn't a slur. People can be fat. It's fine. Like it, but it's okay also to make fun of a fat guy who just fat shames women 24/7 and like makes the short people stand at the next to him in photos. Like he's dumb and ugly.
It's
I'm
not.
Very brave.
It's not that Trump is
that
fat.
Was super brave.
The joke is not that Trump is fat. The joke
it's
is that
he's
Trump
lying.
Goes, it's that he lied.
The joke is that he's vain.
It's that he's vain. Exactly. Like nobody would care if he was just comfortable with if he just owned it.
He
and,
needs to.
Yeah,
he's got some self care. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah
love
fucking,
your body.
Get a fucking bath bomb, man.
He needs to listen to the new Lizzo album. Really.
Hmm. Mayor charged with pointing gun at minors in park steps down. Dateline Associated Press. The mayor of a small town in Pennsylvania is stepping down after being charged with pointing a gun at kids in a park. The lawyer for Derry...
We've all been tempted. Don't pretend
who
like you're
amongst
above
us? Who the lawyer for... Is it okay to curse at kids? The lawyer for Derry Mayor Kevin Gross said Friday that he has resigned less than a week after being accused of pointing the gun. Mm. The 38-year-old mayor turned over more than 50 guns on a district judge's order. He's accused of assault, reckless endangerment, and harassment. The lawyer says he denies the allegations. Police say Gross also pointed the gun at three teenage girls who were bystanders and told them to put their phones and other belongings on a bench. Derry Mayor.
Do we know why the altercation started? Maybe he was. Maybe he had a point.
Maybe they were doing selfies.
Maybe the kids were being little shits.
Maybe he was picking up a cell phone. Who knows?
Boy, you're going to get email.
It's very sad and weird and.
Listen, I don't want to be made fun of by kids. I mean, if I owned a gun, I'd probably point it at them. if they made fun of my skateboard or something.
Yeah, when they make fun of your Segway, that's hurtful. That's just hurtful. I'm helping the environment. And by the way, I got 250 miles on this little bitch. I have
go!
Saved.
Go! There we are.
God damn it! Oh, fuck me gently. Oh. Venmo. Did you want to talk about hobby horsing?
I was unfamiliar until you put this in the doc.
Here, I'm going to throw
this out
to you,
Alex. It doesn't, I'm sorry. Before we move on, though, the article does not say why it started.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the breaking news version of the Derry Mirror. Yeah. So I don't know what came out of it.
Yeah.
But he does look like a human thumb and probably makes videos in his car.
He's a sunglass, wraparound sunglass.
He's a wraparound sunglass man. Mm. Chapo this week, by the way. Chapo this week. Very, very good. Did you hear it? Did you hear Virgil's opening statement?
It got me. It was very funny.
Oh, holy shit, that guy's funny. He's such a good writer.
He's not wrong.
He's...
The whole time I was kind of like, you know what?
he was misunderstood. He's not saying you shouldn't have kids. So funny. Cool. The only good reason to have kids is if you're struggling with your relationship.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. A playground argument. This is from triblive.com.
Big fan.
A playground argument over a marker Sunday night led to the mayor of Derryborough pointing a gun at four children in a park, according to state police. Kevin M. Gross, 38, took a loaded revolver to the park near his Broad Street home just before 8:30 p.m. after his son was involved in a quote-unquote scrape with other boys.
Oh.
Gross is accused of pointing the weapon at a 15-year-old boy and three girls, a 12-year-old and two 14-year-olds, before residents nearby intervened, he said. I'm trying to see if there's any. Police said Gross ordered the teenage boy to the ground at gunpoint. He's accused of demanding the girls put their cell phones and belongings down while pointing the weapon at them.
Oh my God, it was real. That wasn't a. Oh, jeez.
The boy. Here we go. The boy was trying to get a marker back from one of the other children when the scuffle occurred. Ugh. One of the children had a minor scrape on their arm.
Oh.
Wow. Imagine getting into a fight in the park and suddenly the mayor appears and points a gun at you.
Oh, my God.
He was elected mayor in 2017 with 98% of the votes.
Oh, Dairy Mayor coming.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, that's, boy, I just always walk through the steps. Like, I don't like having to go to Walgreens, you know? But I'm imagining I get one of my 50 guns. I get my revolver and I make sure it's loaded. And I'm going to show these youngsters a little bit of frontier justice.
Now, you're saying if you rolled up on the playground and someone had stolen a marker from your daughter and pushed her on the ground and you just happened to have a revolver, you wouldn't be tempted?
I would be tempted, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, what's the point of having guns if you don't have guns, right?
I would be tempted, too.
Like, who buys ketchup and keeps it in the garage? I'm going to come fully packed. Maybe like a Chewbacca bandolier. Like I'm ready. I am ready for some serious stuff to go down at the playground.
Make fun of me now, you little piece of shit.
Tell him the mayor was here. The mayor of what? It's not a metaphor. I'm literally your mayor.
You're gonna make fun of my skateboard now? Is that funny? Is it still?
I'm your mayor, and I love you.
Is it still amusing? It's still funny, huh?
I'm not allowed to curse this week, but you are a little poop. He discharged his weapon.
Wait, he fired into the ground?
No, he didn't Yosemite Sam it, I don't think. I don't think he literally rose into the air from firing guns at the ground. Although that would be an amazing effect.
Like maybe one of the kids was still making like a comical hand gesture and he just like fired it into a nearby tree. Just, you think I'm kidding? I'll do it.
Do you think I'm messing around? You little feces? I'm the mayor and I can't curse. Consarn it.
Consarn it.
You can only use prospector swears. Dag nabbit. I curse with my guns.
Challenge! It was Merlin's challenge this week.
It was my challenge this week. My challenge was very, very simple. For 1 week, and including this episode, stop cursing. No curse words.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the challenge.
One thing we didn't do, which I think we should have, was go over what is and isn't swearing or cursing. Because there's a...
I know the answer to all that. Just ask me.
Okay,
Well, hang on. Like, and also, I mean, like, not to problematize this, but mm-hmm. like the distinction between what one calls swearing, well, cursing. Cursing is a better word for it. There is a thing you can do called cursing, and then there's an array of sounds that we call swear words or curse words, right? So the my main idea was to like stop saying things you shouldn't say in front of kids, kind mm-hmm. of, even if you're the mayor. Like stop using curse words, but. It doesn't, first of all, I failed at that utterly. But also, like, do you want to stop swearing? Because that is kind of a different thing. Right? Am I wrong?
No. I don't think so.
What do you got, Max? Do you have a, you got something you want to read us? I mean, the thing is, I think if you read it in brackets, if you block quote it, I suspect, maybe you could just tell us what the word is. The words you know are swear words. You could tell us in a way that's not swearing.
Well, obviously you've got.
You can put asterisks in it.
You've got the seven dirty words you can't say on television.
Okay, mm-hmm. got those, mm-hmm. got those. Right? Yep. George Carlin, classic.
That would be shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cock, sucker, motherfucker, and tits.
Mm.
Tits doesn't even belong on the list, man.
Well, it did then.
Huh.
Yeah.
I see. I.
It sounds friendly. New Nabisco tits.
Yeah,
we've done this bit on the show before, didn't we? Cheese tits.
No.
That's right. Yeah, that was when Adam was here.
Was it? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Cheese tits. And then you've got the there's like the Simpsons episode where Bart's like, we're gonna live like kings, damn hell ass kings. So that would be like your secondary curse words. Now I didn't mm-hmm. give those up because I'm not capable.
Wait, really?
And you got the side door curses of childhood where you're like, well, a bitch is a female dog.
Yep.
Hell, ain't you double hockey sticks.
I used to get in trouble for saying crap.
Crap.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, and
no one ever got mad at me ever for using a swear word.
Teachers would catch us and be like, say it like, don't potty mouth the Lord. So even oh my God, I could probably say fuck, and it would have been less offensive than saying oh my God in a Catholic school.
I come from a time when the F word. At least for me and in my retinue or whatever, like that was still like you knew that word, but you didn't use that word. Like you did not. You might use it like in the shower, like whispered, like as a test of whether how it felt in your mouth, the mouth feel of fuck. But like, okay, let me just type that up real quick. And I don't like asterisks. Stop with the asterisks. Either curse or don't curse. There is no asterisk curse. Mm-mm. Like don't do that. Anyways, no, that one was definitely verboten. You're saying, Max, if I understand, you were not punished or you were not admonished by adults for using curse words as a kid.
I don't think so.
Do you remember if you were using them and what they were?
I don't. It was just never a big deal. I mean, Jews, I think, have less hang-ups about this than other people. And it just wasn't a big deal in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I do remember when I first started tenting. This is a little bit of like a TV bit, but it's true. I do remember as I got into it, tentatively trying to use curse words and being very bad at it. Whereas now I am expert at it. I'm extremely good at cursing. But I remember being like, you know, kind of whispering where you just be like, ass, bitch, breast.
Yeah, I mean, there must have been.
She's an ass. Bitch, breast.
There must have been a point where
nipple, penis.
Where I was cursing tentatively, but I don't know. Like also, like in a lot of the like in just like in politics, like everyone curses a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Did either of you keep track of the number of times you cursed?
No, I did not keep track.
Oh, okay.
I abandoned my workflow.
Did you?
I tried to
did
make.
You?
Yeah, all I gave right. I gave up. I still want it. I still want one for writing down the song in my head when I wake up.
Oh, good one.
Because the best cure for OCD is more OCD.
Yep, that's what I've heard.
But you did that. You sent us your little slide left to right thing. What was that called? What do you call that? Dash man? What's it called when you go to the left to right?
Oh,
what's it called? Dashboard, Dashman.
I don't know.
The
screen with the widget. Hurts.
You had a county man. You had a county boy.
Pretend like everyone doesn't already know what you're talking about.
Okay, Merlin started that. I sent you the app that I was using to keep track of this, which is Drafts by our friend Greg Tortoise. And it's the great thing about it is the app.
Does he also make the clicker app? Doesn't he make the clicker app too?
Tally. It's called Tally.
Tally.
Yep. Tally.
Tally up the votes.
And you can add a widget, which is when you slide to the opposite. You swipe right on your iPhone, and that's where all of your widgets live. And I would just hit a little plus button, and then my Tally would go up. The end.
Today view.
Maybe.
Today view. Maybe.
I don't know.
And so my problem was I got hung up, as per usual, I got hung up in the implementation details and get a lot of what the kids call scope creep, which is like, I want a way to be able to say which root word and variation I use of the F-bomb, and that's important to me. Was it a cock or a cock smoker? Like, I'm... And I got all wound up in that. I went back to Datum, which is still around. Back to Datum. I thought, is there an easy way to do it?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember Datum?
There's a name I haven't heard for many moons.
Datum is... Yeah, they travel single file, the Datum. It was so good. I looked at that. And then I looked at all these different... It doesn't matter. But no, I didn't count... And so, Alex, you did the smart thing, which is less, because you're a minimalist. And then you just counted the gross number of curses you made, correct?
Yes, 49.
49 for the whole week?
I was very careful about this. In fact, I put on... Remember the challenge where Max zapped all of us?
Oh, yeah. That was a classic episode.
Yeah. So Max, in a previous challenge, made us wear a bracelet where you just shock yourself whenever you do something bad.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. Back. I might have abused that a little bit.
Yeah, so I whipped that out and just started doing a little zippy zap and electrocuting myself every time I swore.
Let me ask you this, guys. Sauce! Stop doing it. It's LGBTQ week. No, listen. Oh, okay. Listen, they're talking about this in school.
Really?
I'm talking about this in school, and I want to try. That might be my next challenge.
I know. I'm bad at it.
You told me it was okay, and you gave me a pass, but now I do it all the time, and I think it's problematic. Hey, team. Hey, peeps. That's what our teacher says now.
Just say people. People is not hard. Kids are people. It's not.
Discover your desks. classics. My question is, was your heart in it? I'm asking both of you very quickly. Was your heart in
100%.
It?
100%.
You really wanted to not do it for the challenge. You wanted to not curse.
Oh, I didn't necessarily want to do it.
But you tried
for
hard.
It's my motivations were the challenge, and I told everybody in my life basically to let me know if I slipped up, and I took some notes over what were the big triggers at which I swore or cursed whatever.
Really?
And I have to say,
magic. You said magic tricks were causing many curses.
Yes.
Perhaps unsurprisingly.
Well, there were just some new. There's some new tricks Max had, and they were just really good. And I didn't know how they worked, and they were just, that was a dick shit fuck sort of situation. Ooh. Where just Ooh. Words come out. And that's the other thing. I don't know why how someone is good at swearing. I know that I am bad at it, but I don't know what makes you good at it.
What about you, Max? Was your heart in it? Did you? How much did you try?
Well. Not that I didn't try that hard. I more just tried to be mindful of when I was cursing, and I thought maybe it would be interesting, and it was interesting.
Yeah, the nice thing about you is you are basically explicit in a way that doesn't involve cursing, and I think it's really admirable.
So what does that mean?
It's more the things you say. It's not the word. Well, I think your Taft and Trump thing is a kind of existential cursing that didn't need a gerund. You know,
interesting.
Whereas I'm always prepending a fucking to everything. It's the worst.
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't curse that much in my normal everyday life, but you know what? I did have kind of an amazing thing that I noticed from paying attention to it this week, which is I think people start cursing in conversation. There's sometimes you're in a conversation or you're hanging out with people, and there's this moment where you want to indicate that you're coming behind the curtain.
I totally agree. I have an anecdote about this, but continue. Yes.
So
it's a way of tentatively deciding how intimate is our interaction right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that part of it? Is like, yeah.
There's
a
way of saying you're coming behind the curtain with me. You're inside now. And mm-hmm. So one of the times I noticed that the cursing was just like out of control was I took this, me and Kevin Pang, he's a food writer in Chicago and a fellow magic nerd. We took a magic lesson with this guy, Bruce Bernstein, who's kind of a legendary mentalist and
the
magician.
Bruce Bernstein?
Yeah, the Bruce Bernstein.
Wow.
And we've been, Kevin knows him. He wrote a profile of him for the Tribune, and we've been bugging for him for quite a while to say, hey, could we take a magic lesson with you? Could we take a magic lesson? We finally did it last week. And there was this moment where it was a little awkward. We went over to Bruce's house, and there was this moment if he was like, hey, show me a trick just so I can, like, see where you are. And we both did some tricks. And it's awkward, right? I don't know this guy that well, and we're in his house. And, like, it's an uncomfortable mm-hmm, situation. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of made our comfort, and we realized, okay, we all sort of know what we're talking about, and we all have some chops here. And then, oh, my God, the cursing. It was just like, pow, just like everyone was just cursing up a storm. And I think there was this idea of, like, oh, I recognize you as like an insider, right? Like there's something of like come behind the curtain here. And it happened It happened again in this like this stupid politics event that I went to for lunch. And afterwards I stayed and talked with two of the organizers and as soon as everyone was gone, like, oh my God, like it was so fucking foul, like just the cursing. It was like
Veep. Got a little salty.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just, it was one of those things of like, because we were tracking it, it kind of raised my antennas. And like, it wasn't a situation where I was going to not curse because I wanted to, you want to meet people sort of on their level, and it would be weird. It would be like conspicuous and weird if I was like the only one not cursing. But like,
that happened to me quite a few times. But there was this week.
But there was this.
But you feel like maybe like an Ellie Kemper, but where you're like, I'm trying so dang hard to curse.
Yeah. But there were those like moments. Both of those were moments where it was this recognition of like, okay, we're all insiders here, right? Like the Rubes have left; they're gone, and now it's just us closing the place down. And we can all impress each other and show that we're in the in group here by just it's like, it honestly, especially the politics people, like it truly sounded like Veep. Like it was like when everyone's mm-hmm, making mm-hmm. fun of Jonah. Like it's like so, it's vile. It's disgusting.
I one thing I didn't, it's funny that we call it cursing or swearing, and like you think about like if you go back and what that probably initially meant, and there is a very interesting history of cursing and what words are curse words. I feel like I heard this on maybe Lexicon Valley. But, you know, some linguist was talking about the history of curse words and how they came about and how there is like this. What?
I just had a funny comp. Just go. I'm sorry.
But go ahead. No, go.
I was just thinking of what if when you cursed, you actually cursed someone.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're basically like an amateur wizard when you're doing it. And you say, God damn you. No!
Like, everyone's like a planeswalker from Magic the Gathering, and you just like...
Curse of me got him.
Yeah, you're trying to show that you're cool, and you just put curses on people. Do you guys know about Yiddish curses?
Yeah. I don't think so. Tell me more.
The Yiddish curses are just, they're just fucking metal. They're so cool. They're really good.
They're like very specific.
Yeah. I just Googled Yiddish curses, and here's some of them. All the problems I have in my heart should go to his head.
Wow.
Let what I wish on him come true, even if it's half or just 10%.
Oh man. Wow, that's intense.
He should marry the daughter of the angel of death. She should have stones and not children.
Oh, no.
He should get so sick as to cough up his mother's milk.
That's a curse. That's a curse. That's a curse.
Throw salt in his eyes and pepper in his nose. Leeches should drink him dry.
Somebody get your parking space.
Oh, this is a good one. Like, he should grow a wooden tongue.
Oh, God.
That's one thing I did notice, though, is like, I mean, I guess this should be sort of obvious given what a, what does one say? What a wimp I, what, go.
God should bless him with three people. One should grab him, the second should stab him, and the third should hide him.
What?
10 ships of gold should be his, and the money should only make him sick. I wish that on Donald Trump. If I ever met him, if that would be my comment, I'd be 10 ships of gold should be yours, and all the money should only make you sick.
Oh, it's like when you start bugging Khal Drogo about the crown. It's like, you want a crown? I'll give you a crown. I didn't realize like
all his teeth should fall out except for one to make him suffer.
Oh. Oh. Ooh. I just want to point out mine were mainly out of like colorful laziness. Oh, I also wanted to say just in passing, my someone I'm acquainted with at my house, I mentioned this too, because that person I'm acquainted with, my wife. She said she wanted to do it less too. And I said, you know, what is the situation where you work? Which is it's a professional environment, like a super professional environment. Like,
can we say the field? Or is that too
medical
much?
Stuff. Yeah, it's a medical school.
So
yeah.
You know, you never want the doctor to come in and go, "Well, you're
oh,
fucked.
Oh fuck,
your ankle's fucked.
Yeah, it's all fucked.
Your
up.
Ankle's, oh, shit, no, well, your ankle's shit. Shitty now. It's all shitty. sorry. I never thought it was funny. And she said, no. I mean, like, obviously, it's a, you know, any kind. It's a combination of like medicine and academia. Academia is like, you know, so famously collegial. And like, it's almost like, I'm sorry, I have Game of Thrones on the brain, but it's like you're in a court. It's almost like you're, you know, you're there like listening to the queen talk, and you don't want to make poop jokes. Like, you've got to be very, but she said, no, that she has some people she works with in like positions of power where like, once you are in that intimate situation, woo, they tear the roof off the joint. So, I mean, like, yeah, that's why I say I agree with you. I do think it is something that like signals intimacy. And you know, my only point was like, I can't remember a time, it must exist, given that I'm a wuss especially, I can't remember a time I've ever cursed at someone. Like, I've never called somebody a dickweed to their face.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas, I'll bet you a Rodney or a Boston Rob, I bet if you, like, moved their chairs and got into their shoveled snow spot, I bet you're going to get some choice words from a Boston Rob.
I bet Rodney would say, your stomach should rumble so badly you'll think it was a Purim noisemaker.
It's my birthday.
It's my birthday. I can't believe I didn't get the reward on Purim.
I'm out here washing dishes on my birthday. Can I share my greatest failing of the week where everything really fell apart?
Yes.
Yes.
It happened on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go into this. Apparently, I have this albatross around my neck where I feel the need to tell everybody when I screw up a podcast. Long story short, Roderick and I had recorded 50 minutes into a very good episode. And then the following happened.
What happened?
I'm so fucking mad. Now it's recording. God damn it. It was great. The call recorder was just grayed out.
Is it the opening of the episode?
Shit, that was so fucking good. Call recorder was... No.
The whole time it was? Or the whole when did it stop?
So basically, while we're recording, I glanced down, as I do, to see...
Oh, don't do that. Don't glance.
Well, I just glanced down to see where we were, and call recorder was in the do you want to record state, but grayed out, as in like it wouldn't let me record for some reason.
Oh,
now it's recording. Fuck me gently, Jesus fucking
so
Christ.
Anyway,
really, I hadn't been great at it. Huh. And then Monday, everything kind of fell apart.
Mm,
you know how it is? Like, now I'm off the diet. Now, yum, I'm eating all the chips. You know what I mean?
You know, Merlin, you know what that cursing is? Let me diagnose you. I think there's some psychology happening.
Tell me, please.
I think that you're getting so mad at you're cursing so much that you're not leaving room for John to be mad at you.
Oh, you know why? #aloha.
And I only know that because someone told me that when I was running late for something and I was so apologetic that I was late. They were like, you are apologizing so much that you're actually not leaving room for me to be mad at you for being late.
That's why in the Midwest, an apology is called the Cincinnati curse.
Mm.
Yeah, you apologize very aggressively.
Yeah, because you're the self-flagellation
and like a really invasive, offensive, like just sick in the eyes of God level of apology. I am so sorry I'm late for your party.
Yeah,
so sorry my potato salad isn't up to your standards.
Yeah, it's just such a self-flagellation that no one can be mad at you.
I don't know if I could stop.
So what did you guys do? What did you guys do? Did you just roll through and do another hour?
Yeah, we did like 45 minutes and it turned out really well.
So, nice. But you don't, like, I'm, oh my God. Is it, oh my is God. It accurate?
Believe me, Syracuse has already grilled me about this. Tune in next Thursday.
Okay. So because it's not a double ender, so that.
It was grayed out.
Okay. All right.
It's my fault. I'm working. I don't know if I could stop. I really do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. The swearing. I do like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It's gross and it's small and it's lazy and it's like it's. Ugh. I mean, like, you know, I don't like poop on a towel and show people. Like, why do I talk like that? It's so strange.
Hmm.
Maybe I should poop on a towel.
I mean, I feel like here's the other thought I had about swearing, because I was thinking about what it would be like to not swear anymore. And I feel for most of my life like there's something that I'm trying to say so desperately, and the ways that I have to say it are so insufficient. Like I constantly feel like I can never make people understand what I have to say.
Yeah, like adverbs are not going to pull the weight here.
Mm. It's not even that. It's just that language is so insufficient. When I'm talking to someone, I'm always in the back of my mind going, God, if I only had a whiteboard and I could draw it, right? Like,
well, you have a really admirable enthusiasm for things, mostly positive, sometimes very negative, but like as our listeners have noted, if you mention an app, it's like the best thing you've ever used, and like you make other people want to use it. I think that's a very positive thing that you have that enthusiasm. We all have things that are kind of like that, but no, you're just a very, I'm not going to say it again, I guess, or I will. You're an enthusiastic person, and I feel like sometimes you brim over with how much you need to get that out.
Yeah,
which I can't relate to at all.
I'm brimming.
Yeah, I'm brimming. She's a brimmer, Jerry.
He's a brimmer.
She's a Puck fucking
is your
brimmer.
Whiteboard.
Anyway, it's just, if you were to take cursing away as one of the tools that you have to make a point or explain to people, like, why? It's like if you're trying to, it's like if you're trying to play basketball or something and you, like, tie your arm behind your back. Like, why? Like, that's not going to help you. Like, we have language. It's just like, also, like, I couldn't be more of a, like, I almost think it's like a bore. The whole thing with cursing, it almost bores me. It's so settled to me. Like, I'm so bored of, like, it's just words. Yeah. It can't hurt you. Like, it's so obvious to me that cursing is just nothing. Like, I don't care. Like, say whatever words you want, including all the offensive ones that people get really mad about.
Oh my God.
Wow. I was just going back into my SJW mode of, like, there's a big difference between cursing and slurring.
It's just words.
Okay.
They gain social power that we give them. They're just words. They can't hurt you.
You're right. But when someone, okay, for example,
I'm not saying that you that we should say them.
I understand that.
You get to choose all you get to decide is the reaction that you have.
I agree.
You choose how much power you get.
Well, and
hashtag aloha.
That's why, no, okay. So that's why on Easter, when someone called me a fat fag in the parking lot of a Jewel, I can't tell him to fuck off because, like, he's a giant guy and can probably kill me. But, like, that's signaling a threat. Like, there's
somebody said, like, that to you like that?
Oh, we've gone over this. It's no big deal. It happens all the time.
I go to the suburbs a lot.
I know, but I'm sorry. That's super gross.
It doesn't,
that sucks.
But that's a different thing, though, because
see, there's a situation where if I had a gun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God. My God.
Actually, if I could get into that, that's actually an interesting example. Like, that is very upsetting and it's very threatening. And the reason, let's get into why.
And it's fraught. What's really fraught?
Right. The reason it's threatening is because he might murder you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's not the word. It's that it's attached to this idea of, like, physical violence that he hates you for irrational reasons. and might murder you.
That's why slurs are scary.
He actually hates himself. He's definitely gay, and he hates himself, and he's scared.
He definitely wants something in his butt right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like when someone
did he look like a thumb? Did he look like a bearded thumb?
I brought you a present.
Oh,
Alex,
no.
From,
oh no!
This is from the
what
Avatar.
Is this
is from the gift shop of the Avatar Land in Disney World.
What is this?
Veronica and I just saw this on the shelf, and we thought Alex would probably be into this. So this is called the Veiny Egg Pod Crispy Treat.
Oh.
And you eat this. It's
a
food. It's called a Veiny Egg Pod.
And it's from the
Avatar. And it's from the Avatar.
This is like just anybody can go in there and see that? You should have to pay a quarter and look through a hole.
Oh,
that's not the kind of thing I wanted at Disney.
You got to take a picture of this for the show notes. It's quite veiny.
Real veiny.
No, I think it's some sort of chocolate treat.
Is
it a snack?
I sure
in Alex's terms?
Hope so.
Are you going to eat the veiny egg treat?
How fuckable is it, Alex?
This, oh my god!
It looks like a sex thing.
It does look. No, here, Merlin, I'm sending. It's very upsetting.
It looks like a nut, but also something a butt thing.
No, I was gonna say like the head of like an alien penis because it got like it's like veiny.
Is it
on
canon?
It?
Do the avatars have balls? Because maybe
to
represent their balls.
No,
they
fuck with
their tails.
You
wouldn't be able to horseback ride.
Remember,
where does the pee go?
Interesting.
Out of the tail, everything happens to the tail. It's like a cloaca.
But if they have no balls, where is the pee stored?
It's so like their tail. I think their tail is like an Ethernet cable or a USB-C cable in Alex's case. You can plug it into your dragon horse, or you can use it to make Dookie and pee.
Oh, you know what? Veronica and I rewatched Avatar this week. We got so jazzed about the Avatar world, and Veronica had never seen it. And she was like, based on this theme park, I bet this movie must be amazing. And we went and rewatched it.
Everyone's talking about it.
I went and rewatched it. First of all, do you know when that movie came out?
2009. Oh, close.
Yeah,
okay.
2009. So it's 10 years old.
Yeah.
Now, basically, my impressions of that movie, if I had to describe it before seeing it, I would have said, I remember that it had really cool visual effects and it looked really beautiful, but the story was completely forgettable and it was like a poorly made movie. Now I went back and rewatched it and I have the exact opposite feelings. Most of the CGI and the visual effects look like dog shit. It just aged so.
It looks
horrible.
Like it looks like a demo reel.
It looks like a PlayStation game. Like it is.
It looks
not
like something that ships with your LG TV to show off the power of 4K. It's like, oh, okay, all right, I get it. There's an alien girl who skis on a ball, and then it's red. You're like, what is happening? Who wrote this? Oh, and then the ball explodes. Wow, I love my TV.
It does not look good. But
no,
the story, it was a pretty enjoyable film. It moved. Yeah. I see a lot of movies that are worse than Avatar.
Well, it honors the troops.
I see a lot of movies that are worse than Avatar. I felt like it was a pretty well-paced, good action movie. It was a fine action movie. Especially the first act I thought was really good. They had a lot of interesting exposition and they got through it at a nice clip. It did drag. I feel like all of these movies get really boring in the third act when they start punching each other.
Sigourney Weaver is a snack.
I'm telling you, it's better. That movie had a lot of problems, but they're not with the script and the pacing. It's a fine film.
Is this the after show?
It's as good as any Marvel. It's as good as any Marvel movie I've ever seen.
I wonder if you'll say that about the Avengers.
In the after show, I'm going to eat this, but I don't want you now. I watched Avatar. Okay,
We're in the after.
Okay,
show.
No.
Say something. You didn't say something funny.
Yeah,
we can't go to the after zone without a funny.
Find the funny. all right, now I want to eat.
Hell damn ass.
Damn ass. Fuck cunt. No one will say cunt. No one will say cunt. I love it.
Only we get to use that word.